being loved even. In other words, together with the experience, we are looking for a feeling. Maybe you were in doubt, maybe you were in some type of disappointment or something, or hopelessness before, and then something happened which increased your faith or gave back your faith to you, and you responded to that with a feeling of maybe let me say of relief. I would like to give you now an example from the scripture. It concerns Draupadi. I think we all have heard about her crisis of faith. She had been in her womanly period while her husbands were engaged in a gambling match. They were throwing dice and they had lost everything, their kingdom, their royal elephant stable, that means a few thousand elephants, well decorated, really heaps of money, a lot of money, heaps, you know, piles of money. And in the end they had lost their freedom. They had gambled and they became slaves when they lost. There was one thing which was still not lost, their wife. And they were challenged, Yudhishthira as a representative of the five Pandavas, was challenged to gamble one more time. If he would win, he would get all the riches back, his kingdom back, his crown back. But if he would lose, he would lose the only thing which was still in his possession, his wife Draupadi. Yudhishthira agreed to the proposal. He threw the dice and he lost. Draupadi at that time was in a room where women who are in their days are there. They are usually given peace for... they stay in peace there. And she was dressed in a special way, the way women were dressing in this time when they were having their moon phase. But without telling her much, she heard, "You are lost." She was grabbed by her hair and pulled to the assembly where the royal gambling match, where the gambling match had taken place. And without any further announcement, a mighty warrior, it said he had the strength of 10,000 elephants, approached her and began to disrobe her before everyone. So at first she tried to defend herself. She screamed. She appealed to the assembled king for justice. She said, "Do you have no decency? Here you will do this act of adharma to disrobe a woman who is in her days in a public assembly." But when nothing had helped, she finally turned to Krishna and called out, "O Govinda, O Janardana." I will talk only very briefly about it. Krishna then appeared, unseen to others, but seen to Draupadi. Draupadi could see it. And from his hand, from which the whole creation flows, the cloth to cover Draupadi, that means unlimited amount of zari material, flowed and dressed Draupadi so that she was not disrobed. It was a miracle, the one who tried to disrobe her continued to grab the clothes and rip it with lusty eyes from her body. But more and more clothes came, and finally the whole palace was filled with cloth, and everyone started to choke in the cloth. Because Krishna is unlimited and his gifts are unlimited. Draupadi had lost a little bit of faith in the beginning, but when Krishna saved her, her faith was restored, but only half of her faith. Another half of her mind was full of doubt. And when everything had cooled down and she saw Krishna alone, she expressed her doubt in one question: "My Lord, you wanted to save me, but why did you come so late?" This was a last minute help. And Krishna took this question very, very seriously. He said, "Draupadi, when you called my name in the beginning, did you mean it? You called my name, but you turned for help to Bhishma. When Bhishma couldn't help you, you turned to all the kings. When they didn't help you, you still continued to call my name, but you turned to even Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra for help. You called my name, but you didn't turn to me. And I thought all this while, with an anguished heart," anguished means a sad heart, a pained heart, "oh my God, when does she turn to me? She turns to others. Let others help. She doesn't approach me. Only when you turn to me, then I knew, wonderful, I am called. She has turned to me, and I will now come and help her." Draupadi heard this answer, and as she understood more and more Krishna's mentality, her faith returned fully. She understood. Whenever she would turn to, call Krishna's holy name and turn to him, Krishna would come. Krishna had proved this to her with a miracle. He had not only come, but he in his own way had saved her by giving her the zari. Draupadi knew why he did this, why he saved her by doing this zari miracle, if you so want. She knew what that meant. Many months before this happened, Krishna had once cut himself in the finger, and Zari and Draupadi had immediately taken a stripe from her zari. It was a kingly zari with gold and everything. Crush! She ripped it and gave it to Krishna. "Please just take care of your wound where you cut yourself." And Krishna had taken the zari of Draupadi and, while putting it around his finger, looked at Draupadi and said, "One day I will repay you with unlimited amounts of zari. Wait for that day." And now, when Krishna had explained to you, "I saved you when you turned to me and called my name," she remembered. Oh, Krishna had promised would give me for the little piece of zari back in millions of zaris, and he did it. And her faith had grown. So I would request you now, this is not a simple exercise, to turn to your partner and search for a time when you felt Krishna had come in your life to restore your broken faith and taken care of you. Is the question clear? You can also, if this, I admit it is a difficult thing, you have to go a little bit deep, but I think by now we can do that. I will want to help you. You can go to a situation which was really bad in your life, and where you turned to Krishna, and then somehow it changed, and you went into a sunny period in your life, a period which turned auspicious. Yeah? Usually in that situation, Krishna has done something. You can also answer the question in a different way by saying, share with your partner an incident where your faith in the holy name filling up or was strengthened. For instance, you might have been on a program and seen people starting to chant and getting something out of it, and this helped you to gain more faith. So you will have I will see maybe 7 minutes for this. I have to just rush upwards. I forgot something which I need for another exercise. And I will go. But please start now. Is the question clear? I wish you a good digging for the gold. I think this was a question for you where you were really able. Oops, I wait for you. From your expressions and how your hands were moving and how your this was there and some tears were flowing in the direction of the Adriatic Sea. I could see that this is a good question. I would recommend that you ask this question every day. Look for something which can increase your faith. There was once a book in progress which never was published to my knowledge. It was called The Faith Book. And in it, devotees shared experiences where they just felt, this is the proof that Krishna is there and cares for me. I think it would be a wonderful book to compile. Maybe I can inspire Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu to compile such a book. I think it would be very worthwhile to just learn from the experiences of others here. I noticed that some of you are not taking part in the sharing exercises, and I want to encourage you, whenever it is possible for you to share, it will help you a little bit, because in this you go into an area which you usually don't go to, and then you can take more benefit out of the exercises which come afterwards. It's these exercises are not just there to entertain you or to break the lecture style and make it more into a workshop. They're really there for a very specific reason, and sharing is, and free writing, if you know how to do it, is the quickest way really to access those deeper layers within us which we want to go to in order to transform them eventually. So it is good to share, even if you are a little closed by nature and you do not share usually. It is good if you try. Of course, I spoke to one devotee the other day, and the devotee said, well, the deepest thing I don't even share with my best friend. And I was understanding this, but I also thought, have you found your best friend already? When you have a best friend, you want to share, and you need to share, actually, because in that process we learn so much, and we become actually transformed. I know from one of my god brothers, a very saintly personality, that he always prayed. He prayed, "Oh Gopal, please send me a friend I can share with." That's a very important thing. Sometimes I feel in friendships amongst devotees, even I have heard in marriages, we somehow allow that the friendship or the whatever it is, whatever the relationship is, comes to the surface, and we just don't find the time and the depth of character to share the deeper things which are alive in us, and then we suffer because there is a part in our life which is not lived. It's the part of deep spirituality, and for that, you know, in Vaishnava traditions, it's good to have sangha or good association. So I want to to encourage you, when you do these sharing exercises, that you really go inside and you even leave a little bit of your, let us say, your hesitation and your ego behind. I remember I was once in an exercise like this somewhere in the mountains of America, Blue Ridge Mountains, and somehow it happened that there was, I was not the only one who gave that retreat. There was another one, Giriraj Maharaj, and myself, we co-facilitated the retreat, and I was in his lecture, and he asked us to share something, and the only person who was still free, because I had been teaching before, was a very young person where I was not sure if I could open and talk about the question, but I tried, and something opened up to me. I didn't go to the, I didn't tell my the secrets of the secrets of the secrets to him, but I tried to share, and something beautiful happened to me. So I wanted to encourage you to go in, and if you are hesitant and you think, or if you don't want to speak, please overcome this hesitancy. Go out of your limits. Do not hesitate to go a little bit further than you usually go in your life, but especially in such a retreat, stand naked before God and allow yourself to come in that space where something new can happen to you. Also, I saw yesterday some of you were thinking, oh yeah, it's a Japa retreat, good atmosphere, I won't chant 64 rounds, I will go bathing. You know, that is what you usually do every day in your life. You prefer other activities over spiritual activities. But here in the retreat, you have the opportunity to live your life fully, to go to the limit, to do something extraordinary, and then you will actually also get the results. It's important for me because I must admit to you, it's easier for me to work with a new crowd which doesn't know me than to work with the people with whom I have grown up, like you, because you know me already, not completely, but I still have some surprises for you to come. Don't worry. And you just go, oh yes, we are one family, and he also speaks Yugoslavian, he's half Balkan himself, and then, you know, it stays on a certain platform which will not be in your advantage, it will not serve you in your deepest aspiration, and I feel I have not done my service very well. So don't hesitate. And if you see someone who sits like a Mauerblümchen, separate from what everyone else, encourage them and ask them, why is it that you cannot participate? Maybe there's something troubling his heart, and so on. Good. This is just a tip. I would like to prepare you now for our Apurvata meditation. As you know, the holy name is unlimitedly powerful, just like the sun. But when we bring clouds and mist before the holy name, mist means fog, then the power of the holy name is not experienced to us. It is only experienced by those who sit in the sun. It's almost like, imagine here is a clouded area, and you try to sit in the sun, but it's so clouded that a chilly breeze comes, and you're sitting there in your bathing suit, and you're trembling. Wouldn't it be more intelligent for you to leave that place and walk maybe 5 kilometers in this direction, away from the clouds, and then experience the sun? Of course. So when you don't experience the whole benefit of the holy name in your life, you must leave the clouded zone of your spiritual life, the fog zone of your spiritual life, and go somewhere, go to another space, another place in your life, where you can chant without the clouds of aparadhas and avidya. So that was that we discussed earlier. But someone who is, and here I come to my subject, not willing to do that, he's not willing to move and go to another place, will remain chilled, he will be cool, and he will freeze and tremble. I feel many of you don't want to leave the clouds, and you're spiritually cold. The reason is that you are not willing to look at this apparat, the tensed apparat. What is this? Yes. It is to not develop faith and remain attached to your old world of I and mine. Let me read from the text, this ancient text, to you. Stammering with ecstatic love, he couldn't speak really, he was so moved, Haridas went on to explain to the Lord the last of the offenses to the holy name. The last nam apparat is the last and worst offense of them all, for its presence stops Krishna prem from developing. And Haridas Thakur says, to really develop faith and break this attachment to our world of I and mine, the aspirant, that means the devotee who wants to make this advancement, should surrender fully to the holy name. And he says, all the scriptures discuss the 6 kinds of surrender, of which it is impossible for me to speak in great detail. He feels, this is such a subject, I just can't tell it. I would be sitting here for 10 years to talk about surrender. I noticed when you were having this exercise, you were also talking more than before, and it was difficult for me to get your attention again, because you were
discussing, yes, something happened, and then I could again surrender to Krishna, I could move forward. Well, it's a deep subject, in other words. But Haridas Thakur says, I will describe to you in brief what this surrender done out of faith means. You know, only the faith and surrender is the same in Jiva Goswami's analysis. If you have faith, you surrender. If you can't surrender, you don't have faith. It's like this. So, accepting all that is favorable to devotion is the first step. Rejecting what is unfavorable is the second step. Depending on Krishna alone for protection and maintenance is the third and the fourth step. Feeling humble about one's own condition is the fifth step of surrender. And finally, fully surrendering is the sixth step. Now, I would like to... Haridas Thakur will tell us also how a person who does not surrender thinks. Would you like to hear it, or do you think I know this already? I think it's good by contrast to hear what happens to someone who is not faithful, who is not full of faith, and who just can't do it. One who is unable to accept these six limbs of surrender remains a prisoner of false ego. Haridas Thakur is strong now. He always thinks in terms of I and my. I think this, I want to do this, this is good for me and mine. And he thinks of mine. When George Harrison wrote his, he's a nice devotee, he wrote his autobiography, he called it I and Mine, you know. Because he wanted to explain that when he met the devotees, he moved away from this world of the Beatles, of a celebrity, of a multimillionaire or billionaire. It's hard to say how much they own these very high-paid professional musicians. Such a person who is still in the prison of false ego proudly declares, I'm the master here. This household and family are mine. I enjoy the fruits of my work, whether they are bitter or sweet. I'm in control. I am my own protector. I don't need anyone else. I can take care of my needs. I earn what I have with the sweat of my own brow, im Schweiße meines Angesichts, sagt man in Deutsch. This is the egotism that intoxicates those who have turned their backs on Krishna. They consistently overestimate their own abilities and intelligence. You can see, you know, really we are small souls in this world. We have turned up. We are not enlightened beings at the moment. We are hopefully on the path. And we shouldn't take ourselves too serious. There was once an Italian pope. Now, usually when we hear pope, we are not any longer so faithful. But this pope was good. His name was, before he joined the Catholic Church, Giovanni. Do I say it correct? Giovanni. What?
Giovanni.
No, you should say it, Vajra Gandhi.
Giovanni.
Yes, this is how in Italian would say it. And Giovanni was a simple man from the fields, and he really didn't like being the pope. He was extraordinary, spiritually minded, and therefore they put him there. He always wrote to his family, I don't like to be in this situation. I rather would be with you in the field. And
please write me, are the tomatoes growing nicely? You know, he was very much, he really didn't like his office, Pope office. There's so many popes who would kill people to get to come to the position of the Pope. But this one, Pope John, he's the favorite Pope of my mother, therefore I know about him. So, but he remained in office, and once a priest came to him who had difficulties in his priesthood, and the priest confessed to Pope John and said, I don't know if I can continue sacrificing my time for the people which I want to help. I feel sometimes I should leave the office of the priest. Can you advise me? And Pope John said, I have a surprise for you. I often feel the same. And once, when I really wanted to run away from this office and just become a nobody on the field again, once I prayed. And when I prayed, the angel Gabriel appeared before me and gave me the answer. He said to me, he didn't address me by Your Excellency Pope John the Third, or I do not know what was his number. He said, Giovanni, don't take yourself so serious. So then this Pope said to the priest who wanted to bloop don't take your world of eye and mind so serious. Don't take yourself so serious. Do your service as a humble servant of God. I like this very much, this wisdom of my mother. She also sometimes had said to me, since you became a Hare Krishna, you take yourself so serious. Don't do this. When the mother speaks to the guru has to, okay, mother. We are not so important. We can just do our service. We should not take our little world of I and mine so very serious. It's an uninteresting story. We only have one customer to this story, ourselves. No one else wants this book about us. It's so ordinary. Only one customer. Those who write an autobiography have to always make it very interesting so that it sells. So the unsurrendered soul is so much caught in the prison of I and mine, at his own little word, and the symptom is he constantly overestimates his or her own ability and intelligence, and takes it so serious and is prepared to fight for this, for the Krishna, and to defend it. Ooh, so much. I think we all suffer from this. So let us not go deeper into this. Let us ask now the question, what should we do? What to do to leave the prison of self-centeredness and to develop faith? And Haridas Thakur gives a whole list of things to do. He says, first of all, live a simple life. Make your life simple. Simplify it. And give up those things which you don't need. I can tell you there is so much happiness in life when you come home after a retreat and say, I want to live more spiritually, and you give away your cloth which are only good for the discotheque. You give away all the things which you don't need for spiritual life. But you make your life simple. No? You give away the things and you just make yourself simple. That helps you to reduce your world of I and mine. You know, this is suffering for us. You know, when we are winding ourselves up, I can only give you an example of It's so frustrating for me that I don't know proper English. It's eine Spinnspule. What is that in English? It's a thing where a thread is winding up, and this thread is to make a pullover. Do you know it? How do we say it in Croatian?
Glupko.
That is. Glupko. Aha, not glupko, klupko. Yeah. Eine Spinnspule for those. In our life, we wind up. I'm sorry, I'm trying to learn your language. You please encourage me. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, like a big tumor. This is our life, you know. We just more and more comes on, and so many unnecessary things, so many unnecessary thoughts, so many unnecessary situations in which we got ourselves in, which really don't serve our spiritual life and doesn't serve anyone's spiritual life, you know. We are more piling up these things on us and our lives. In Bhaktivinoda Haridas Thakur gives us the tip to simplify our life. That means to turn in a different direction. Not more, but less. You follow? The Western civilization, people, more emails, more contacts, more presence on Twitter and Facebook, and finally you can't talk to anyone. Finally, nobody can sit in a lecture. They always have to write SMSs because they have so many things going on in their lives. Their mailbox is totally full with unnecessary things, and they suffer so much. They need anti-stress pills, you know. So Haridas Thakur says, de-stress your life. Simplify your life. Give up the things which you don't need, and spend more time on chanting. Then he recommends, watch your association. Go into good association, which can strengthen you, which can make you feel more interested. Sometimes many of us spend so much time with, you know, clarifying things or writing emails or making phone calls. I meant this and not that. You know, no, you said this and not that. Oh, and it never is good enough, you know. Look for that association where you can get strength, which can build you up, which can give you sufficient energy inside of you. And he says, as you throw the unnecessary things out of your life and take positively more of the holy name in your life in the association of good devotees, no? You will see how slowly your ego becomes smaller and your sense of possessiveness, you know, I need to own this, I need to have this, it just goes away, and you think, I really don't need this any longer. This happens because you get a higher taste and you become strong in your faith. And that strengthening of the faith will give you virya, inner strength, as we have said. Then he says, the great soul who has taken shelter of the holy name with faith and chants the holy name constantly attains the wonderful treasure of prema. And, you know, if you look at this picture, Haridas Thakur really doesn't have a lot. He's not dressed with a lot, you know. He stays in a little cottage, simple dwelling. It is very clean, and you can see it's so simple, it's so sympathetic, and so pure and so innocent. I like this picture, which was done a few hundred years ago, I think 150 years or something like this ago, because it shows the simplicity on one hand, but the richness of the heart on the other hand. Heart is rich with love. So I would love to now do an exercise which will bring you a little bit more in the heart space, hopefully. Let me see what is that. Yes, we are in good time. It will be the last exercise for today. It's called the Apurvata meditation. It was developed first by Mahatma Das and Purusha Shukta Prabhus, and we took it from them. I would request you, how do you feel? Do we need to do something for your circulation?
No. No.
I think we do something very simple, not something where we sweat a lot, okay? And I think we don't like to always change shirts because we sweat too much. So we will do something very simple, where I talk with my Ayurvedic doctor about, Dr. Raju. It's how to quickly energize yourself. It's known all over the yogic world, but it is. I found out some details from my Ayurvedic Kaviraj. Don't do it immediately. We will do on an inhale this movement, and then we have to spread out the fingers. That's the art. Spread out. But some of you spread out like this, the lazy way. You have to spread it out like really with. Yeah, I'm not sure, Lalita Madhava. Richtig mit Energie ausbreiten, die Finger. You know, you really like, as if you training your fingers for, I don't know for what, for this exercise. And then on an exhale, which is a quite forceful exhale, which comes from the diaphragm. What is diaphragm in Croatian?
Diaphragma.
Yeah, diaphragma. Yes, diaphragma. You should really feel your diaphragm goes to your spine and shoots through the wall, you know. And so it's really a powerful. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Kindly breathe in. Yeah, Philip, no, Gogovinda is doing it right. The fingers must really stretch. Ah! Need some power here. You can now add the head. We will do this for about an hour. Yeah. Men, please take your hand under your navel, the left hand, and the right hand over the left hand, and just become a little silent and see what happened. Women, please take your right hand under your navel and the left hand over the right hand, and also just breathe normally and see what happens. Just observe. I would like you to turn now towards the altar so that you can see Radha and Kunya Bihari, if possible. If you can't see them, then turn in their direction at least. Now we will try to go into a new experience of the mantra which we chant for so long. I will one time chant Maha Mantra alone in a flow and then chant it together with you.
Hare, 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 Hare.
chanting with Krishna, I will one time say Krishna alone, and then we will say five times Krishna. All of our concentration goes into Krishna. I will say it one time alone. Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
At the last, Rama, I will say one time alone, Rama, then we concentrate on speaking the name Rama five times. Rama,
Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama.
Thank you. The next exercise will be that we hear with full attention the names of Krishna, the names of Hari, the name of Radha. All our concentration moves now away from speaking and moves into our conscious listening to the mantra. I will one time chant alone, and then we will chant all together. This time we concentrate entirely on hearing. Hare,
Hare,
here,
Hare,
here,
Hare, Hare, Hare.
Same thing with Krishna. Hear the holy name. Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Same thing with Rama. Rama,
Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama.
As we know, the holy name is identical with the named. So this time we will chant, and when we chant Hari five times, we look at Radharani. We just try to become aware that this is Radharani. Those who can't see, like me, I have to make an internal picture, and I look at the internal deity. I know how Radharani, how the deity of Radharani looks. So I will concentrate on this.
Hare, 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 Hare,
Hare. Thank you. The last, the next with Krishna. While you say the name Krishna, make a conscious relationship to Krishna. I will one time do it alone, and then we will do it together. First alone. Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Address Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
And the last, Rama. Rama is Krishna in the Hare Krishna mantra. So say Rama, and again address Rama. It's about making the connection between the name and the named. I will do it one time alone, then we'll do it five times together.
Rama.
Space, and we will chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as if we chanted for the first time. for the first time means apurvata, or that it is fresh to us. How is it fresh? Well, this time we will chant it trying to concentrate on hearing, on singing and on hearing and trying to concentrate on Krishna. That is aware chanting. That is chanting with full perception. That is connected chanting and not separated chanting. Real Vrindavan. So we bring our full attention to the different names of the mantra, both when we sing them and when we hear them, and we connect the name with Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
now I'm going to present an exercise which I saw Radhanath Maharaj do. When you sing, you bring your hands up in the sky, and when you hear, you fold them for your chest. So now you will sing, hold your hands up and sing now. Open your heart.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And bring your hands down now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Open yourself.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
From the heart.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And now we sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
please open up and sing.
Hare Krishna.
Heart over the head. It's heart obeisances. And I will read a prayer by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to you. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection to you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me, trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I beg you, I'm under unfavorable circumstances and I'm suffering. Without your grace, I do not find any relief for my present imprisoned condition. Please sit up now. And turn to your partner and just very briefly share what went on for you in this last kirtan. The good things, the not so good things, the excellent things, whatever. Please share. Hare Krishna. This is very good. It becomes more and more difficult to stop you. This is very good. That's very good. You can continue definitely to, I mean, it's maybe good to continue amongst yourselves and just talk to each other. Whatever could not be talked now, I'm a little bit aware of the time, and we are already over time, and we usually have this singing before the lunch, and I think we should do this, but I would like to see, is Sukumari here? Not here. In the kitchen.
She can hear you.
She can hear us. Sukumari. It is your birthday today, and we have. I mean, is it all right when we they don't see it? It's not the same that we must bring the person. So we.